Everybody's doing good tonight? Good. Good, good, good. Well, it's a good day, right? Yes. Like I always say, any day you're on this side of the dirt is what? A good day. Good day. I want to go see Jesus, but not yet. He's not done with me yet here. But yeah, it's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. You know, and as I was preparing for this, because a pastor asked me to speak, and I don't know, I spent a bunch of time with God, and I couldn't come up with anything. It was a struggle. You've ever had that? When you're trying to spend time with God, and it's just a struggle, you know, and you're trying to hear from Him. I felt like I was playing hide and seek with Him. You know, I was like, you know, I want to sit, walk around the house, but Marco, Polo, where you at, Jesus? You know, what am I supposed to talk about? And I had nothing, literally nothing. And I began to just flip through my Bible, you know, because usually I, you know, as I go through my week, I get like inspiration in the weirdest places, and it's like the words just start flowing. But this time it wasn't like that. And as I began to just kind of flip through my Bible and just say, you know, Jesus, stick something out to me, I kept coming back to the book of James. And there's a passage in James that I want to spend some time talking about tonight. Because it, no matter how many times I kept flipping through the Bible, oh, is this what you want me to talk about, God? No, that's not it. Flip again. It kept coming back to this, back and back. And as I began to read it, it really, I don't know, something really touched me. You know, and that's when you know God's shown up. When you can begin to read His Word and it begins to say things back to you. You know, when it begins to read you back. And you begin to, and it begins to open your eyes. And in the book of James, the first chapter, this whole book of James was written by James, the brother of Jesus, around about 45 AD. Okay? It was written to the new Christians that were scattered among the nations. So this is where Christians, they're scattered all over the world, and he's writing this letter to them to encourage them. And in James 1, verse 2, I'm looking at the New Living Translation, and it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy." Think about that. Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. James right here was saying, trouble will come your way. It's a given. Trouble happens. But praise God anyway. You know, and because when things happen, you praise Him. Praise Him in the good time. You praise Him in the bad time. One of my favorite songs is a Chris Tomlin song that we sang. We sang it last week. Will you throw that up there for me? It's this song, and I love it. Will you? Bridge, brother, come on. It says this. It's "How Can I Keep From Singing" is the name of the song. And it says, "I can sing in the troubled times. I can sing when I win. And I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing because you pick me up because you're there. I can sing." And he goes on to say, "I can sing because you hear me when I call you in prayer. And I can sing with my last breath because I sing because I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne." That is a direct echo of this right here. Whenever trouble comes your way, it's joy. Sing out to God. Sing in the troubled times. Because trouble's going to happen. It's a given. But it says there, let it be an opportunity for joy. Over in 1 Peter, one book over, 1 Peter 1 and 7, Peter says here, he says, "These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Trials test your faith. It refines your faith. Like fire tests pure gold. That's what happens. They got to heat up gold to get all of the junk out of it. And then what you're left is pure gold. And see, that's our faith. Those trials are going to come. They will come. But he says, praise God anyway. Let it be an opportunity for joy. Going back to James, picking it back up in verse 3. James 1:3, it says, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance, your ability to keep on going, your ability when your faith is tested to say, you know what? I made it through last week. I can make it through this week. And by God, I can make it through next. That's what it's saying there. It's like, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. As many of y'all know, and as I told Brenda Babe last week, I am not a runner. Remember that conversation? Yeah, I know you do. I am not a runner. And I told her, if you ever see me running, you better come too, sister, because something is chasing us. Okay? I'm not a runner. I'm not an endurance runner. When at the end of last year, Kelly said, you know what, we're gonna get healthy in 2019, right? We're gonna get in shape. And I said, baby, round is a shape. She didn't like that answer. One last one. You know what my idea of fitness is? Fitness, whole pizza in my mouth. Okay, I love that joke. But anyway, I say all that to say this. Several years ago, I got on a real big health kick and got us a treadmill, right? Put it in the living room, and every day I was walking on it. First couple days, oh, it was torture. This body did not want to move that quickly. But I found that as I kept going after the first day, the second day got a little bit easier. The third day got a little bit easier than that. And but as time went on, I was run walking about 10 miles a day. It's a long time. It took a while. But see, as my endurance, as I kept going after it, my endurance began to grow, and I could go farther and farther in distance. It's the same thing with our faith. As our endurance begins to grow, we can go farther and farther into the things of God. Because you know, so many times we say, as we're going through something, we say, Lord, take this away from me. Why am I going through this, God? Take this trial away. But many times, instead of saying that, we should be saying, Lord, strengthen my back. Help me to carry this on. Don't take it away, because the longer I carry it, the more endurance I will have for the future. Because if God takes everything away from you the first time a rough patch happens, you're never going to grow. You're never going to learn the things that he has for you. And it goes on in verse 4, James 4. It says, so let it grow, talking about your faith. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. You'll be strong in character. Think about that. Someone that's strong in character is someone that you look up to. Someone that you can pattern your life after. You know, so as you begin to grow and you have this endurance, you can be a light to those other people. You can say, I've seen Ernie go through it. He made it out on the other side. I can follow Ernie because that's a man I can follow after. It's the same thing with Pastor. Same thing with Brother Charlie. I've seen y'all go through stuff. I can go through it. Things similar because y'all showed the way. Because y'all were strong in character. Your testimony can help someone else when you go through it. When you don't say, God, take it away from me. You say, God, strengthen my back to carry on. He says you'll be strong in character and you'll be ready for anything. Be ready for anything. When you're strong, you have that endurance. No matter what the devil throws at you, you can take it. You can look him in the eye and say, do your worst, Satan. I've got God on my side. And you have the confidence to know, like that song, I can sing because I know Jesus is there. Man. Wow. Get that. As you're in, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. And then, so we're talking about, you're going to face trouble, but count it as joy. Then all of a sudden, James switches. He was just talking about that. Then all of a sudden, in verse 5, he says, if you need wisdom. So he's just talking about, hey, have endurance to go through. But then he flips everything and he says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. So we're talking about endurance but all of us, and being ready for anything, and then we shift to wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge. You know, we live in a world full of knowledge. All the world's knowledge is at our fingertips and little bitty phones. But we have very little wisdom. Wisdom is using the knowledge that we have in a constructive manner to further things. Because you need wisdom to endure. You need wisdom to be strong in character. Because that's part of it. You need wisdom to be ready for anything. Because wisdom will let you know when what you're going through is a test of faith. Wisdom will let you know if what you're going through is an attack from the devil. And wisdom will also let you know if what you're going through, you caused. Think about that. Because you know the old saying, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes that reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. Think about that. I've been guilty of that. I mean, come on. Everything happens for a reason. Wisdom lets you know what that reason is. And James says there, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. It's not a big mystery. You ask God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? See, and this is in direct contrast to what Kelly was talking about this morning over in Isaiah 45:9, where he was talking about the clay. Will you throw that up there? Isaiah 45:9. It says, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Kelly was talking about that this morning. If you didn't hear her message this morning, I encourage you to listen to it. Okay? Because it will bless you. It will bless you. But see, wisdom is not arguing with the creator. Wisdom is asking him, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And one of the greatest things that I respect about our pastor, because I've seen it, every morning when he wakes up, he asks, where do you want me to go today, God? Who do you want me to bless? And I've seen it. That is one of the greatest things that's blessed me, is to know that that's what I should be doing. A man of strong character, that's what I should be emulating, and that's what James is talking about. Said, if you want to know, if you want wisdom, ask him. Because he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking when you come before him and ask. You don't argue with him. I have a son that needs to sit down right now. But sometimes he likes to argue. Don't you, Carson? Yeah, you do. And I'm trying to teach him that when he argues, he doesn't get what he wants. However, when he asks, every time I'll give him what he needs. You know, because he'll come in and start yelling, I want a drink. I want something to eat. And I'll say, are you asking or are you telling? Are you asking me to bless you or are you yelling at me? Are you arguing with me? So I'm trying to teach him that. And then it goes on in verse 6. It says, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. In another translation, it says, be sure that you are ready for the answer. When you ask God for something, when you, especially with wisdom, make sure you're ready for it. Because for a double-minded, for a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, people like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So they can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything that they do. Well, are you guys following them? Come on. James 1, verse 5 through 8. It says right here in this translation, it says, where do we go? Be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They have divided loyalty between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Have you ever met anybody like that? They're just completely unstable in everything because they can't make up their mind. They're always going back and forth. You know, all that does is serve to confuse them and confuse you when you hang around those type of people. But in verse 6 there, it says, be sure you really expect him to answer. What that's saying there is, when you ask God for wisdom, shut up and let him talk. Think about that. So many times we want to, like Isaiah 45:9, we want to argue with God. No, God, that's not how we should do that. No, I don't want to do that, God. He's saying, no, shut up and listen. Because we serve a God that speaks in a still, small voice. And if you don't shut your yap long enough to listen, how are you going to get what he wants for you? That's the thing, because if you continually talk over God, you're a double-minded person. You're going to be flopping back and forth. And it says, stay away from people like that. Stay away from those type of people. Because all it does is lead to confusion for you and for them. You know, talking about my kids, I love them. But man, sometimes they can be double-minded as all get out. Especially when it comes to giving them choices for stuff. You know, if they give them too many choices, they don't know what to do. It boggles their mind. Same thing. You're thinking about, God, should I go here? Should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? No. Narrow it down. Say, God, should I go here? And then shut up and listen. God, should I go over here? Then you shut up and you listen. Notice that theme there. You got to listen. Because in, you know, narrow down the options. You know, in Proverbs 24:6, it says, in the number of wise guides, there is salvation. You know, having wise counselors is great. But so many times when there's a big decision to be made, we ask everyone else around us, and not all of them are wise. So then what happens? We're back to being confused, back to being blown back and forth, back and forth. You see, it's all about, it's about not second-guessing anymore. It's about, wisdom is about listening to God, asking him and being ready to receive it and then moving with it and not arguing. Because many times God's trying to lead us away from something or someone or a situation. Stop making excuses. Just because you got a lot of time and effort wrapped up in a mistake doesn't make it any less of a mistake. And if God's trying to lead you out of that, and you keep arguing with him, what's going to happen? Take another trip around Mount Sinai. You're going to waste this year and waste that year. 3, 4, 5 years down the road, where are you at? Same place you were. In the same spot with very little endurance and no direction. Man. Because that's the thing. God wants to lead us places. He wants to help us avoid things.
Yes.
He wants to lead us out of bad situations. Many of them He wants us to avoid altogether. But like I said earlier, sometimes we're stupid. We make bad decisions. And then we look at God, we start blaming God. What'd you do to me, God? God's saying, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to go over here. I didn't tell you to hook up with that person. I didn't tell you to start messing with this stuff. God's saying, shut up and listen. If you'd only listen, I will direct you. And like I said, one of the biggest things is stop asking everybody what their opinion is. Amen. Stop asking everybody. You know the only opinion that matters? God's.
Amen.
And God will direct you. Because you know, through that progression, when you're going through something and you count it as joy and you begin to build that endurance and you're asking God for wisdom, you're going to know where to go. You're going to know what steps to take. Just like the children of Israel when they were going through the desert. They had the physical manifestation of God right there with them, the cloud. And every time that cloud picked up and moved, what'd they do? Threw their stuff in a bag and said, let's go. God's going that way. We're going over there. Because it was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And it says in the Old Testament that every time the cloud moved, they picked up their stuff and moved too. And every time it stopped, what'd they do? They didn't keep going over here. They didn't keep fooling with this person over here they know they shouldn't be talking to. No, they sat down, they listened to God, and they shut their mouths. Well, eventually, they had some problems with that at first. But, see, that's what I've been looking at. What is true wisdom? What does wisdom really look like? I want to look, flip over a couple pages in James 3, verse 13. What does wisdom look like? It says in James 3:13, if you are wise and understand God's ways, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. What's a wise person? A person that is steady in their goodness.
Thank you.
And what happens to those people? Good deeds pour forth out of their life because they're putting good things in. Because that's the deal. When you're putting good things in, the only thing that can come out is good. Right? If I'm eating right, trying to look all trim, yeah, what's going to happen? I'm going to look better. When I'm following the things of God, I'm going to look better. But if I'm eating the junk, junking it up, what am I going to look like? I'm going to look like junk. And we don't want that. And it goes on to say, and if you don't brag about the good that you do, then you will be truly wise. Wow. You do good and you don't tell anybody about it. That's what a wise person does. Verse 14, it says, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your hearts, don't brag about being wise. That's the worst kind of lie. I love that. If you're going to be jealous and bitter towards other people, don't tell people you're wise because you're just lying to yourself. Because the worst kind of lie is one that you tell yourself. Right? And he goes on to say, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and motivated by the devil. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. Think about that. People that are unwise, it's all just a bunch of jealousy, selfish ambition, and disorder. And that's the things we're not supposed to do. Because you know, if we're all jealous of each other, fighting against each other, what are we doing? We're making the devil's life easier. I don't want that. Do you? I don't want to make his job easier by fighting with other people. I love y'all. I hope y'all love me. And if you don't, I love Jesus, and that's all that matters. But the last couple of verses here. In verse, where are we at? 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's a pure thing. The foundation of wisdom is purity, moral integrity, and holy living. And it goes on to say here in verse 17, it's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. In another translation, it says it's reasonable. Reasonable. It means they don't always, a wise person doesn't always have to have the last word. I know people that argue with you, and just so they can have the last word, they'll say last word. I have some friends like that. I'm like, hey, that's fine. You have the last word. Whatever. But be peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds, full of compassion. It goes on to say, and it shows no... It is full of mercy and good deeds, and it shows no partiality, and is always sincere. That's what wisdom is. A truly wise person has these type of qualities. A person that's truly wise and truly following after the things of God doesn't always have to have the last word. They love peace above all else. They're gentle, full of mercy. They're not partial. It means they love everybody. No matter if you're ugly or not. Thank God. And most of all, they're sincere. That's the true mark of wisdom, is being sincere. Sincere without hypocrisy. Sincere towards other people. Sincere towards God. I love verse 18. It says, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Those that are peacemakers, they will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. So, having said all that, I want to encourage y'all, be strong. When something comes your way, praise God. Whether it's a good thing, praise God. Whether it's a bad thing, praise God. Whether it's an in-between thing, praise God anyway. Because what will happen? You'll be strong in character. You'll be able to lead that next generation. Because that's my challenge to me, is to be strong in character for that little boy right over there. And the other loud one in the nursery. It's to be strong in character. Be someone that they can look up to. And be ready for anything. And above all else, having wisdom. To hear God. To know what God wants me to do. And to follow it without arguing, without making excuses. Thank you.
Well, that was not only a good word, I believe that was an on-time word. Let's consider our ways here tonight and look to the promise of God, who says, when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even their enemies to be at peace with them. For those that are listening by website or CD and those that are here, I'm going to give you a moment to consider your ways. Was it your ways? Was it God's way? And if there's anyone in here tonight, you're ready to say, I just want peace in my life. Peace is better than winning an argument or winning whatever. Peace is better than revenge. Peace is better than making a wrong decision on something I just want that wasn't of God. And I'm going to give you a moment, and I'm going to ask everybody that wants to do it God's way in any area of your life. If you do, I want you to come up here and just take my hand. And so doing, you say, I'm going to do it God's way because peace is better. I'm just going to wait a moment, give us some closing music. And if there is nobody, that's fine. If there is, just make a line starting right here. And I'm just going to let you give it to the Lord. Because when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even their enemies to be at peace with them. So while people are deciding, in the hearts. Is it time? Do I want to carry this longer? And just give me your hands. And I'm taking it right now. The Lord says, I'm taking it as you give it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Right now. I'm taking it right now. Right now. I'm taking it right now. So go in peace. I'm taking it right now. So go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. It's just go and take peace. It's yours. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. In just a short while, we've seen what God is doing for you. The best is yet to come. There's more peace and more prosperity and joy. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. I'm taking it right now. Just go in peace. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace, young fella. I'm taking it right now. Go in peace. 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 Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Those of you that are listening by media that say you want Jesus in your heart, just say with me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive all my sins and save me. Amen. I believe if you've said that prayer, you're born again. Now lift your hands, and I just declare and impart what God has for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his sweet, peaceful, prosperous presence upon you and give you the best of everything. And it starts with your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you and pick.